You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Got to put the mics up here. You know, if you listen to these programs that I produce long enough, you'll know you'll know what producers have to do. You could actually clip some courses probably for if you take some actual studies on it. Anyway, welcome to A Biblical Response. This is David Frankour. I'm one of your hosts here, and I'm about to introduce my other co-hosts, a wonderful God-selected group of believers. We have a great team. God has welded us together. A great team. To one of my lefts is Ann Limhoko.
Good morning. It is so wonderful to be here. This is the day. I always say this. This is the day the Lord has made, and we need to rejoice and be glad.
Amen. Amen.
So.
And then also on my left, a little further down, is Stephanie Jacobson.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. And then to my right, I only have two sides, by the way, left and right. Keith Masters.
Good morning.
Good morning, brother. And I just mentioned this is the last day of 2024, as we all know that probably. But I think it's good to say, because I'm assuming we're all of the same opinion that we're happy to see 2024 exit.
Yes, for a lot of reasons.
A lot of reasons. And of course, if it weren't for some of those reasons, we wouldn't have a program.
Think about it. That's true. That's David.
Because of the issues that trouble people, and we're
always
here to
spin that the right way. That's good. I like that.
So
always spin it positive.
Well, we have to do that. I mean,
that's
spin great. Happens, right? You
that's
might as well make it a positive
that's
one.
That's right.
And so, well, with that, we're looking again at one issue through the lens of the Bible, and I'm going to invite Stephanie to kind of take us out in these interesting waters.
Yes. Well, I this is one that I'm not always up on, but it's been an interesting study for me to bring this. And what I've called it is the turmoil on college campuses. I want to reiterate a little bit, though, that this program that we do here that brought us together to look at these current stories and to bring the biblical response to our listeners. So far, we've talked about, and we've only had, four shows?
I think this is our fourth,
yeah,
I think.
Our fourth show. So we've talked about...
Well, today's actually our fifth show.
Fifth,
is it our fifth?
Okay.
I thought it was.
Math was never my strong suit.
It's okay. But we've talked about the tearing down and not upholding the Bible, the tearing down of the Christmas celebration, the tearing down of the Constitution, the right to life. And these are all things that are actually talked about on campuses as well. So
you're right.
Not just in the public forum, but the public forum of the college campuses. But today we're going to talk about the higher learning education system and how it is being used to further an agenda. We can look at it as it not really furthering education a lot of times, but it definitely is furthering an agenda. The problem is a vast majority of these colleges are filled with far left professors who use their classroom to force anti-American and progressive ideologies onto the students. But don't be deceived, because that agenda is a religion.
It's a secular realm. It is humanism
yes. at its best. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we've seen this year, an uprise and an uptick, was in the spring of 2024. And I'm just going to mention this. This isn't our full show here today, but a hotspot item on the campuses this year was a fight that's been happening for centuries and has made its way to the American college campus, but it seems our college campuses are being used as a gateway for this particular fight. And in May 2024, over 50 college campuses had protests, and there was almost 2,000 arrests that came out of that turmoil. And that protest was a battle between Israel and Hamas. Mm-hmm. And I'm not an expert on this. I'm truly not. But to be honest, it's one I don't pay a lot of attention to because I'm not hooked into the college campuses all that well. Mm-hmm. But it's a fight that comes to me because it's not just a fight between Israel and Hamas. It is a fight against Jesus and the cross.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Because it's a spiritual war where in the past we've had human interest wars on the campus, you know, where I know Right to Life is one we're battling right now, and that's mm-hmm. definitely human interest. It's also a spiritual war as well. But mm-hmm. but this one is definitely built on something different than what we've seen in the past. It may surprise our listeners, or maybe not, that almost every Ivy League school was established primarily to train ministers of the gospel and to evangelize the Atlantic seaboard. So their agenda back in the day was to help people know more about Christ.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna quote here a little bit from research that was done by Barna Institute, which I don't know if you guys know what Barna Institute is, but it's a research organization for the church, essentially, and it kind of lifts an honest mirror to what's going on and how the church should respond to it. And it's founded by George Barna, who's not there anymore, but the CEO is David Kinnaman, and he did a massive study that was done in 9 different countries and 25 different languages for the millennial down to Gen Z. Now, I'm a baby boomer, so I did not get asked to these questions, but what are you in?
I don't know. I'm like Googling it right now.
All right. Well,
I'm Gen X.
Oh, Gen X. Do you know what you are?
I'm a baby boomer.
All right. Yeah, we're baby boomers. Yeah. And
3 boomers and an X.
All right. Well, there you go. There you go. So we don't have, you may have something to say about this. But
the Gen Z is the ones that are basically the majority of the college students right now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. They were born between 1995 and 2009.
Right.
So it's their age group right now that is sitting in the seats of college.
Right. So this study was done for 19 to 35 years. So it takes in a little bit bigger. And the questions on this was about faith and spirituality. And if this isn't a snapshot for our culture and where we're at right now, I don't know what is. There were 5 things that they found as they were doing this. One is they feel connected, but they feel alone. So despite the hyperconnectivity and the global mindedness, they still say that they're alone.
Mm.
Isn't that what the first thing the enemy tries to do is to get us separated and feeling alone?
So why do they feel like that? Because the Gen Zers, okay, mm-hmm. the parents, both parents were working.
Mm-hmm.
And so it left them alone after school.
That was the start, yeah.
That was the start. That's how it all got integrated into their life, right?
With their devices. This is the generation that's all about devices.
Right, and they came home and they had to do their own snacks when they got home from school, yeah. right? They had to entertain themselves, mm-hmm. but they spent all that time alone. Mm-hmm. So now as they've grown up, they come back, and this is exactly how their lifestyle works.
Well, and think about the kids now at home by themselves.
Yeah.
What do they go to? They go to the social media. Mm-hmm. And that's fake fellowship, guys.
It is.
That's not
real connection.
That is not a real connection. Mm-hmm. The second thing that they saw was that there was a vibrant spiritual openness among the next generation.
That's good.
Which is, by large, a really good thing, except for the fact that it would explain the rise in witchcraft and New Age things, because they're hungry and curious.
Mm-hmm.
They want connection. They want spirituality, but they don't want the rules and righteousness. You know, and especially on the college campus, you're just getting away from your parents. You know, you're having this experience, and now all of a sudden you are responsible for what you know. This is why the teaching as a child, what does the Bible say? Teach up a child
train
in the way
he should go.
That's right.
She go.
And they have those thoughts and feelings in their mind as they go. If they don't have them to go to the college campus with, where are they going to pull from?
That's right.
I was going to say, I like that they're open spiritually, but then that leaves room for the enemy, because all these shows have been birthed on mainstream TV about the spiritual world and the dark spiritual world, and they're pulled into the fortune tellers and into all that, which is, if we don't get them the right direction spiritually, they're going to go the wrong direction. Sorry,
You're good. I just wanted to throw in a segue through the Word of God here. Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, two letters we know of. This is the second letter, chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, I believe. And I was going to read this. Now, this is the ESV, the English Standard Version of the Bible, but should say about the same thing, no matter what your version is. Again, it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. And it's a prophetic statement that Paul makes to Timothy. It goes way beyond Timothy's day, but here's what it says. But understand this, that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. You're starting to hear this today. Ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, I would say weak people, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions. And this is the kicker, verse 7, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth.
And what is the knowledge of the truth of what? The Word of God.
The Word of God is my core.
It is the core. And you know, the problem, and we've got a few more things, we'll take that after the break, but to those verses, we can all say that we're guilty of that.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is not just a now problem.
Yes.
This has been through centuries. And so I don't want to look at the group. I've got some good things coming after the next break.
Yeah. Amen. But, amen. Set us up for that.
Timothy is not for the weak minded.
No, he's not.
That's true.
He cuts right to the chase.
So I know that we're not downing the groups that we're talking about today. We're actually just bringing kind of a pinpoint to how can we help them. And I read this scripture yesterday when we were talking about what we were going to say today, but in Psalm 145, it says, one generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. And if you look at this, we are responsible for the next generation.
We are.
Amen. Mm-hmm. We are.
And we are responsible to the Word of God.
Amen. Absolutely. And we're seeking to respond to that as God leads us.
Yes.
Let's take a break. And when we come back, now keep in mind, hang on to your seat, because Stephanie has promised. We're going to really dive deep.
I'm Mindy Molina, investment advisor rep, licensed insurance agent, and fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to the Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Welcome back to Biblical Response, and we're just going to dive right in. At the break, Stephanie was promising to go a little deeper, so why don't you take us
there. Well, I just want to go back and reiterate that this research was done by Barna Institute, and I believe it was done right around 2018-2019. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so keep in mind, that was before COVID.
Tell us about Barna. Some people don't know George Barna and what he started. He's not with it anymore, but what his the emphasis of Barna Institute is.
Yeah, I just actually met George Barna. I met him in Scottsdale, Arizona, a couple of weeks ago at the National Association of Christian Legislators. It was really a cool bringing together of all the legislators across the nation. Mm-hmm. And he was one of our speakers there. And so I was able to hear some of his. He's still doing the research, but it's just not with Barna Institute. So he's still at it. So it was very, very, very interesting. And so this study was done 2017 to 19, I think. And again, it was done with 9 different countries, 25 different languages for 19 to 35-year-olds. And the reason they did this was because they wanted to see what the spiritual temperature was for this age group.
Okay.
And, of course, that brings in your college campus and all of that. So the third thing, this doesn't get better yet, guys. You have to wait for better. The third thing that they found was they were anxious. They're worried and insecure, and it is often tied to finances and vocation and their safety. And think about that. This was before COVID happened, and this was already how they were feeling. Mm-hmm. So if you can imagine, here we are, adults, and COVID shut things down. Now, I got to be honest, guys, I didn't shut down. I was not a mask wearer. I was I was not one of those. But it did put something in you, like, how can they possibly keep us in our homes like this, and this fear? But think about a third or fourth grader. That was a third of their life that was shut down.
Yeah.
And so they have this fear or anxiety based on that, is what you're saying.
It's already been planted in them that this could happen again. And so, you know, they didn't know really what was going on. But the fact of the matter was, it bred anxiety in them at third and fourth graders.
Wow.
So, and some kids didn't get to graduate, and some kids, the college thing kind of stopped happening. So a lot of fear was placed in there. And fear's part of
the enemy. Because we're not supposed to live in fear.
Nope.
Right?
Fear has torment, the Bible says.
Right. Mm-hmm. Do not be afraid. I have not given you the spirit of fear.
Yep. How many times is it said in the Bible?
365 times.
One for every day of the
One
year.
One for every day of the year. Yeah. Now, and I spoke to somebody about that, and they said that I've never counted exactly, but that is what has been said, over and over again.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me.
Right, exactly. Right. I haven't given you the spirit of fear.
But it is the enemy's ploy to make sure that these kids stay in fear.
In isolation and fear.
Yeah, and anxiety.
And then they can't talk to others, and, you know, and so then where do they go? They go to the social media, and it just pushes them even further into that.
Right. In some ways, it seems to me like the canary in the coal mine, you know, in the old days when methane gas, you can't smell it. But they had caged canaries, but the canary fell over. Time to get out, guys.
Time to leave.
Well, it means that a symptom, it's a sign of something bad going on in your environment. Mm-hmm. And you look, and where is the best place to look? It's on the college campus, which is kind of where we're focusing our commentary today. We picked up on all the hot button issues, including anti-Semitism, which I think is a big part of that. And it's also to know that, you know, fear is the core reactive. Anger is the child of fear. So first we're afraid, and then, you know, that moves to anger and all of the other relatives of anger, which you see in great profusion in these protestations on campus. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think that iconic one that we've been looking at is all the pro-Palestinian stuff, mm-hmm. you know, very anti-Israel, mm-hmm. even to the point of making the proclamations that, you know, from the river to the sea, all Palestine will be free, mm-hmm. meaning basically let's kill all the Jews, because that's the heart of that proclamation from the Palestinian side, mm-hmm. from those people, is they just want to get rid of the Jews. They've always wanted to get rid of the Jews.
I was going to say, that's been a war for ages. I mean, it has been...
Ever since.
Yes, it has been a war for that. But I do want to give you some good news.
Okay, let's do that.
They're saying that the data points tell us that the next gens or the next generations are really looking for answers, which means they're seeking. And what do we do as Christians, as human beings? We seek for answers, and they're not shutting down. That's a good
news.
Thing.
That's good news.
That is a good thing. The last thing is that the generation is longing to make a difference. Now, did we long to make a difference when we were that age? Yes. Mm. So that means, again, they're not shutting down.
That's good.
They're still, you know, and so what is my response to that as a 62-year-old woman? What does that mean to me, you know, as a baby boomer? How do I help? I get involved. I am there. I am willing to speak to these, you know, and
pray.
Absolutely. No, go for it.
I got nieces and nephews. I got a nephew in college and a niece in college, both in the secular universities. And praise God, they're involved in a Christian ministry called SALT. Mm. If they were not involved in that, I'm not saying they would be bought by all the liberalism on campus, but because our education system has been fraught with a bunch of liberal professors, secular, I want to say, and if it wasn't for these Christian ministries that are doing wonderful work, we need to pray for these Christian ministries. And praise God that they're on the secular campuses. When I was in school from 92 to 96 at Indiana University, we had Campus Crusade. But right now, a big thing is called SALT.
Okay.
So also, give a shout out for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship.
They're good too.
They have been on campuses for decades, and along contemporaries of Campus Crusade, and doing a great work for the Lord.
Are you guys familiar with? Well, Charlie Kirk has done a great job with Turning Point USA.
Amen. Yes, and God bless him.
Turning Point USA Faith, which is there.
And he is bold.
Yes, he is.
Talking bold. He wrote a book. I was reading about this a couple days ago. He wrote a book called The College Scam. And where he encourages young Americans to absolutely skip attending a four-year college or university. He does say that, you know, there are reasons to go to college, but like doctors, lawyers, accountants, engineers, but by and large, the minority of people that go to college aren't going for that, and they don't know what they're going for when they step onto the college campus. And he said the worst thing that you can do is borrow money ahead of time when you're not really sure what sort of skill you want to have.
Which
is another big deal, to go into debt.
I think that many times, and I grew up in an area of Chicago where you just go to college, it's the thing you do.
Yeah.
But right now, big thing, if you don't know what you want to do, and I get it, when you're at that age, you're still young, consider something with apprenticeship or what is it? Like the trades, right? Trades. Like those things need to be more available. We're not saying on the show, don't go to college.
No.
But I feel like it's been such a movement, like that's what you do, and that's, you know, and it's like there are other options out there that you can do. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Well, I've spoken to so many people in my life journey, and especially as a pastor, because, you know, if there's one common thing I could always count on is someone would come to me for counseling, and, you know, they didn't really know where to start, but often some of their issues were frustrations over their work, their career choice, their vocational path, and having spent all that money and time in a four-year education, and then getting into a field and realizing they really didn't like it. You know, there's a lot of distress.
You know, I was talking to my daughter on my way here, and I was just asking her, I said, tell me about, you know, tell me what your experience
was. How old is your daughter now?
My daughter's 40 now.
Okay.
And so I said, tell me what your, so she would just have come in underneath this, but I said, what was your experience as far as, and she said, well, you know, when she was there, when you go in, they give you the undergrad classes, then they give you, mm-hmm. you know, but now they kind of pigeonhole you and, mm. and have you know mm. what you want, and they start you in, they don't start you on the undergrad and get you acclimated, they get you in there. So essentially, if you change, you're kind of behind the eight ball because mm. now you've got all these classes that aren't going to go towards,
mm,
so
major.
Now you have to spend more money on this. So it's kind of a perpetual thing. And so, you know.
But it's instead of helping people discover their aptitudes, what they're really good at, what's in their heart, is there's this whole emphasis from the outside. Now, it happens in families too. You have a family, let's say, of attorneys or, you know, some family has a lot of the same profession in it.
Yeah.
Sort of an expectation that you're probably going to go to law school.
Yeah.
Or if there are doctors or police.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all good vocations, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
But are you personally, a case in point, I'm going to go back, met a family member many, many years ago. He became a family member through marriage, but he was an engineer. He worked for a major company that, you know, that produced machinery, let's say. And he went to engineering school, and he did all this, and he was able, capable, intelligent enough to pass the courses, pass the, you know, do what it took to get a, you know, be, stay in that field, and he did quite well financially. But he acknowledged that he didn't really enjoy it at all. And so, but what he did like to do is, when people would visit, they lived up in the near D.C. And when people would visit from out of town, he'd take them on tours of D.C. He loved to do that. Well, soon after, or just as we met him, his daughters had just taken aptitude testing because they were in high school, and he said, "Well, gosh, maybe I just for the heck of it, I'll do it too." So he took the same tests they took.
Hmm.
And he said after all the testing was done and his aptitudes, in other words, what he really wanted to do with his life, what his heart said, he said, "I was really didn't rate well as an engineer, but I came out really high as a tour guide." And so just to say what's missing, and this is in education, American education at least, for many, many decades, is helping these young people identify their basic, not so much skills as what their desires are. Because frankly, what your heart's desires are, you're going to be really good at that. And there was a book that was written about 20-some years ago, and the title of it was Do What You Like and the Money Will Follow. And it was about really tracking along with the same thing. So now getting back to our topic,
mm-hmm.
is that there's a societal pressure on young people of college age, and it's reinforced by the families and by the culture they live in their community, to go ahead and go to college and get that degree. And it's really, gosh, whatever we think you might be good at, and you don't even have an input in that. If you try, generally that gets squelched.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I think a lot of the stuff we're seeing now, the as we've identified it, the anxiety on the Gen Z
mm-hmm.
folks, but that's always been there.
It's just not been as prominent.
Well, I think that they played a big role, and I'm going to go back to the election, but they played a big role in Trump winning the election this year because of Turning Point.
You're right.
And going on the campuses.
Yeah.
And for those that don't know what Turning Point is, I happen to have it right here.
Yeah, tell our listeners.
Okay, at this point,
Keith, tell our listeners.
While we're perched on the brink of diving into another deep point, let's take a break and then we'll come back to that.
All right.
Right. Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line.
Welcome back to A Biblical Response. And listen, folks, you can call in. Now's the time we're opening the phone lines, and it's 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And we have people out there to take the call, and we have Ann, our co-host Ann, who is the phone is right near her fingertips. And she can actually bring you in on the air. If you'd like to make a comment or ask a question, and again, 772-221-1100. Okay, back to the subject at hand.
We were talking about Turning Point, and if people didn't understand or know what Turning Point was, I know that they know the name of, they know Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
With the visibility that he's received. And one of his belief was for starting Turning Point was winning the country. It starts with winning the culture,
mm-hmm.
and so that's the basis right there. Mm-hmm. And the faith that Turning Point USA faith is dedicated to empowering Christians to put their faith into action.
Amen.
And to put their faith into action. So if it's going against in the colleges, mm-hmm. if anti-Semitism is on the college campus, mm-hmm. Turning Point USA goes and yeah. puts their faith into action against anti-Semitism.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And what they have is they engage with you, they equip you, they empower millions of grateful Americans who are prepared to defend our God-given rights.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
By giving them the tools to expose lies and articulate the connection between faith and freedom.
Yes. The yeah. Lord Amen. Has greatly used Charlie Kirk. Sorry.
He go has. Ahead. Yeah. No. You, yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
If
go
you
ahead.
Ever want to learn and just really soak it in, pull up some of those things on YouTube that he goes into the college campuses
yes.
and just kind of debates the kids on the college campus. And he doesn't debate them. He just speaks truth, and they yeah. don't
and
have
it's not done in like
no.
meanness.
No, 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 no.
And yeah. he's just pointing
it's
out
knowledge.
Truth.
It's knowledge.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I discern what he's saying, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh my gosh, those are words and terminologies mm-hmm. that I can use. I don't have it all in my head, so mm-hmm. I have got to go learn this stuff.
We all need to learn. We all don't know
well,
it.
Well, that's why God gave us a community.
That's right.
You have believers, you know.
That's
that
why fellowship is important.
It is why fellowship. And that's why I said earlier, I love this team here on A Biblical Response, because God has made us that kind of a community. We share, I don't know things, you know things I don't know, and we share and...
Well,
we all
know,
find out.
When I went to the NACL, the National Association of Christian Legislators, here a couple of weeks ago, Charlie Kirk was one of the speakers there as well. It
nice.
Was, it was a great, great
nice.
Time. Yeah. But one of the things that he did that night, I was so impressed with. He said, and I got goosebumps when he said it.
Why don't you tell people first, what was NACL?
Oh, it's so, National Association of Christian Legislators.
So these are legislators that gather once a year for a conference, and you were invited to, twice a year.
Twice a year.
And you were invited to attend.
Before session and after session.
Okay.
Yes, I was given an invitation.
Okay.
And I didn't even know why I was going, but I have, afterwards, I now know why I was there, but we won't be talking about that today. But I just took everything in. But while he was speaking, one of the things he was talking to, and these were, like I said, legislators from across the nation, he said, I want you to go back to your capitals and be bold.
Amen.
He said, we, the media, are here and we are going to back you. You Amen. Have the Amen. Backing of the media.
Amen.
Do not go back and be slouches and be afraid and
yep.
go mm-hmm. back and be bold. And I thought, oh, Lord, that is exactly mm-hmm. what we need now in Amen. This day and age with love. But we have to fight this. This is not something that we can lay down and just cover our heads up anymore Amen. About a lot of this stuff. And I love the fact that he's not afraid to talk to the youth. A lot of times I'm like, I don't want to make them think that I'm this fuddy-duddy old person yeah. that yeah, doesn't no. want to. But they want to have conversations.
Charlie Kirk is being used by yeah. the Lord. And Keith, you were saying that Trump got elected largely in part because our 20-something-year-olds are fed up with the economy and mm-hmm. went to the polls to partly, of course, we all voted for him too. We're older.
Gen Zers.
But the yeah. Gen Zers went. And you know why? Because he's empowering, he's educating, he's training, and he's telling these people, rise up and make a difference. Do not stand like you said, and just not do anything. You know what I mean? Not stand, but lay down.
It's like apologetics. He's giving them mm-hmm. the facts.
Yeah, yes.
He's giving exactly. them the facts.
Yeah.
And it goes through. He's started. They got high school, college, and universities. So they're trying all over the country.
And think about what he's going against. He's really not going against the students. He's going against the
demonic
administration.
Agenda, yes. too, behind the
exactly.
administration.
Exactly. And we've got these. My daughter was saying this as well. She said, you go into these classes and they're like demagogues because they feel like they have the authority, and what they're teaching, you better get in line with, because if not, you're going to fail that class. Yeah. So then it becomes
they indoctrinate on our campuses. Mm-hmm. And Charlie Kirk will what he does is he sets up a tent on these college campuses and he invites people to just come up and ask him questions.
That's it.
And he will educatedly, and this guy is so smart, will just debate what they've learned in the classroom with actual facts.
And he asks
and people
them
need
questions.
To go on YouTube and watch. Yes. And they cannot answer the questions.
They can't.
A lot.
They can't. And, but it so, makes them yeah. start thinking.
Yes.
They chide him because he doesn't have a college degree.
I know.
And, you know, they, what are you who doesn't have a college? You know, it's like, it's kind of like David saying of the Philistines, who is this uncircumcised Philistine?
Oh, that's good.
You know, of it's, you know, Goliath there. And you, it is applicable. The Goliath that's on the campus is being challenged by a David, you know, who's got God's. By the way, another quickie.
Yeah.
When you're talking about the NACL,
mm-hmm.
and just because it's the what is that?
National again? Association of Christian Legislators.
And that's also the chemical formula for salt. NACL, sodium chloride.
You're right.
But it made me think, and what they're doing is being salt and light.
That's exactly what I was just thinking too, David. That is too funny. Well, when I went to look them up, I put in NACL, and I went back to the person that was asking me to go, and I said, well, now I know why they're called the NACL, and that was exactly the thought that I was thinking just now. Hey, I want to go back to something for our listeners, too, to give a little bit of insight mm-hmm. on, you know, where did the college campus come from? Why do we have college campuses, the higher education in this nation?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know this. I knew it in the back of my mind, but I didn't really know what the details were, but it took 18 years from the time the Pilgrims set foot on Plymouth Rock until the Puritans, who, good grief, that's where our foundation came from, who were amongst the most educated people of their day, founded the first and perhaps most famous Ivy League school. Mm-hmm. Their story in faith is etched today in an entryway to Harvard Yard. And mm-hmm. it says, after God had carried us safely to New England, and we had built our houses, provided mm. necessaries for our livelihood, reared convenient places for God's worship, and settled the civil government, one of the next things we longed for and looked after was to advance learning and to perpetuate it to posterity, dreading to leave an illiterate ministry to the churches when our present ministers shall lie in the dust. So
wow.
their whole premise was to educate, and they said that 52% of their graduates from that time forward to a long time after that were ministers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You are not going to find that today.
So see how far since the founding of Ivy League schools, all Ivy League, we're talking like Harvard
and
we're
Yale.
Yes, all those universities, Princeton.
Princeton.
How far they have come Dartmouth. From a system that wanted to basically instill Christianity. First, there were ministers, but then they did it to the lay people, to where they are now, where if you say God on these campuses, you get in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Look, see how far the enemy has grabbed the education system, and that's what we're talking about today.
Just on this overview we're doing, for people just to be thinking and praying about, that these foundational beginnings that the church has been behind, not just colleges, but think of healthcare. Where did the original hospital mm-hmm. begin? The churches. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was the monasteries that were providing care. When nobody else was doing it, this is back hundreds of years ago, but all of what we have today, it emerges over time, and it certainly has changed radically. But the church was behind all of these institutions of learning and institutions of caring that now have been taken over by the secular realm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just to think about that. Now, and then to add to this, let me just say, God loves to return things to the way they used to be. I mean, you look at the whole of creation,
restoration,
God is into restoration, and that's part of, we'd look at end times, is a restoration of God's initial plan for creation. So think about, God is not going to leave anything out. So what is God even now doing and calling his people to be praying about, thinking about, and dialoguing about,
and being
these
bold
basic institutions of not just American culture, but world culture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I've got you all confused and frustrated.
No, it's okay.
Go ahead.
I wanted to bring up, and if it's okay, Steve, because we're about to say, I don't mean to interrupt. And Keith, you could speak on this, but the college campuses have been experiencing a revival. The Lord is at work currently in making sure that education system is not going to be used for the enemy.
So
I wanted to bring up the revivals.
This is great, because I was just going to say they broke it down, and I'm not going to give you all the breakdown, but there's a 10% of the Gen Zs that they were talking about that are, they called them resilient disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And they're Christians who attend church at least monthly and engage with their church more after attending the worship. They truly trust firmly in the authority of the Bible, and they have they're committed to Jesus personally. And they express desire to transform the broader society as an outcome of their faith. So these revivals, there's a remnant. God always has a remnant.
Yes.
And I am so thankful for those that are willing to step in. It's dangerous to do sometimes when you think I'm the only one standing,
but we
right?
don't live in fear.
We don't
we
live in
fear. We have the power and authority.
That's right.
But the Lord goes before
he
you.
He does.
Amen.
The
he
Lord
does.
Goes before you.
Always.
He does.
Always.
Yes.
So there was revival in Asbury, Kentucky on that mm-hmm. campus.
Right.
You
that
always talk about Ohio State.
Ohio State, the football team. I love it. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
The football team, Ohio State.
Yep.
And they were, I you know, I'm not sure the full story, but I know that they were doing Bible studies, and they brought a revival to their campus.
Yes.
80 people got baptized through the football team, and I just think that is so awesome.
It is.
You know?
That's amazing.
It is amazing, you know? And Asbury was, 2,000 people were there for, 2 weeks?
Yeah, and that
was the beginning of last year. Yeah, that was, 23.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been doing it. I think there's 11 campuses, and I don't have them all. But it's the Spirit of God is moving.
Amen. Yes.
On the campuses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that's kind of our focal point today, but we also see revival in other venues. That God really is crossing all demographics, which I think is wonderful. But the campus is going to be, in the same way we're looking at the campus for these issues we're discussing, and that's where we see them fomenting, you know, and then being expressed. So, too, the college campus is now, what did I say earlier about God wanting to restore?
Right.
And he's restoring the campus.
Well, we were talking about the Ivy League schools before as well.
Yes.
And the president of University of Pennsylvania, which is an Ivy League school.
Yes.
Liz McGill. She was dismissed, right, for the anti-Semitism that went on in the University of Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And also the chairman of the Ivy League Board of Trustees. His name was Scott Bach.
Mm-hmm.
He also resigned from the anti-Semitism that was going on across the University of Pennsylvania.
And can I say to our listeners, revival is we think of it as the mass of people reviving, but it's really the revival that starts in our personal hearts.
Amen.
It does
start
in our hearts.
Amen.
And so if you're in and you can't get out to a college right. campus, or you can't even get to church or something, don't feel like you're not a part of
it's
this
coming
movement.
To know the truth.
God is using you, so keep praying.
Amen. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hello, this is Luke Lewis.
I'm Tiffany Young, and we're with Treasure Coast Realty Group. Join us every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for our show, Keeping It Real Estate.
We'll cover everything from getting you ready to purchase a home to sharing programs that help with closing costs and tips to sell your home hassle-free.
Plus, we'll dive into local market conditions, have special guests, and take your calls live on the air.
Don't miss this power-packed show to help you achieve your real estate goals. See you then.
Welcome back to the last quarter hour, I guess, of A Biblical Response. Hope you've been, you know, tracking along with us, and you can still call in. We have a few minutes before we absolutely have to end. That's 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100.
Well, right. Keith was talking about there have been certain college presidents who testified, and this, I'm just looking it up. This was before a congressional committee last year, okay? So it's Harvard University's president, the University of Pennsylvania's president, and MIT. They appeared before the House Committee on Education and Workforce, because what Congress wanted to do was to basically have them answer to what's happening on their campuses about anti-Semitism. And clearly these presidents, in my opinion, did not have the right answers. They were anti-Semitic, in my opinion. What do you both agree? Do you guys remember when that happened last year?
I do. I didn't get to see much of it, but I do remember that they did bring them in front of Congress.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. I'm just saying these presidents of these universities are, I don't know if I could use the word woke. If I don't know
yeah,
if our
that
listeners,
applies,
yes,
sure.
You can
yeah.
apply here.
That applies.
Right?
That's what they are.
Okay, good.
It's amazing how many woke people are really asleep at the switch. You notice that?
The terminologies.
And they were asking yeah. these presidents why were these protests not broken up, or why were they allowing for them, and they could not give good answers. They were allowing the anti-Semitism to spread on their campus. So I don't want to focus so much mm-hmm. on the anti-Semitism, but that is one
of the symptoms of how
the enemy has gotten hold of our education system.
Right.
So just yes. one of many symptoms.
Yeah, it's very obvious. Keith?
No, I was just, you know, we talk about anti-Semitism, but the thing that we want people to hear is that when you take somebody like Charlie Kirk, who's going across the campuses mm-hmm. and who's expressing the love that God has for them and the freedom
yes.
that God gives them, to show that this is what it's all about, and we're trying to share that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Jesus is mm-hmm. Jesus is love. God is love. Mm-hmm. John 4:8, right? So we're trying to express, because not everybody knows the Lord,
mm-hmm.
That's right.
and we're hopefully showing both sides of what mm-hmm. is there,
mm-hmm.
right? And when we say the enemy, it's a spiritual battle. So if you're looking in the physical, you're not going to understand that.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand that everybody has a spirit,
mm-hmm.
and you know you have a spirit. You have to understand that, even though you can't see your spirit, you have that spirit. It's in you.
Yes.
So everybody has a spirit. So when we were talking about the loneliness, you know, that spirit is lonely, and the people are crying out. That spirit is crying out mm-hmm. for for fellowship, for friendship, to be together. So I just
for Jesus, amen. Not filled with Jesus
for God,
then
right?
Fill it for right. With the wrong things,
right? Exactly, mm-hmm. And exactly.
And it seems like the majority of college campuses, when their students rise up, if you will, and they gather as a body to protest something, it's all anti God.
Mm-hmm.
The heart of it is anti God.
Yeah,
whatever and, it may be, if it's abortion, pushing pro choice, if it's anti-Semitism, or whatever it might be.
And
those are the hot button issues.
It's
right
the
now.
Young minds that are being influenced, and that's where we need to protect.
Yeah,
exactly.
And if I can also say, there's money from groups that are led by George Soros that pours millions of dollars into our campuses to sell, to sell our young people these lies about what we're talking about anti-Semitism, but we're also talking about pro-choice and people, you know, wanting them to say, you know, this is not. The baby, it's not a real baby, and it's my body, and I don't have to have the baby. That's all because all these lies have been perpetuated with millions of dollars coming from these leftist groups.
Follow the money.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's not healthcare when you're killing a baby.
No.
Definitely not.
But yeah.
Absolutely.
It's not healthcare.
You know, God is gracious, and I know if we don't do our part, he has a plan. And so we don't have to fear, do we?
No.
I mean, we really don't.
We don't. We have to trust him, but you know.
And he'll raise up us all.
He will.
To be Paul and a Daniel.
But
you
especially
know, and Lion's Den.
Especially our concern now for believers who are listening today. Not that we want unbelievers to stop listening right now, but
no, this is good.
But because we're the ones, we've been given the Spirit of God to serve God, to bring the word of God to the world right now, to those around, as he calls us and gifts us. And we're all different in our giftings and our callings, but we're reminding even ourselves here today, and as well as you, that we have to move, we have to be a voice for God today.
Yeah, this should be a red flag. This should be a red flag and a raising of the alarm on how are we going to make disciples? How are we going to be the church?
Yes.
And how... you know, what is our moment in history, his story? You know, what is our history in his story?
Amen.
And to be own our and to know that the next generation is our responsibility, because if we don't commend that to the next generation, like that scripture says, then who? I know God can do it by the glory of, you know, the stars and the ocean and by you know, anything that
he wants
desires.
To use us because we are co-heirs.
Yes.
It's the gospel of the kingdom.
And
we don't just get saved and then wait to get to heaven, but we take authority.
Yes.
And we are going to make sure that our kids are not going to be taken by the enemy. That's why we're talking about it today.
Amen.
Because there is hope. We're not doom and gloom. Okay, all this bad stuff. There is hope.
And I will tell you, I have five children.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray for them constantly because I know that it's not an easy task in this day and age to walk the walk of Christ.
Right.
I mean, it just isn't. And it, you know, we're not all perfect. We do not have all the answers, but I know the one who does, and
Amen.
I think that's
who we serve.
Is it not?
Yes, and it's, I also want to reassure our listeners whose children have been taken by these, because my daughter is one of them, I have to say. But God is, because we keep praying for them.
That's right.
That, and for most of us, our prayer is about the only thing we can do.
What do you think I'm doing my prayer?
Yeah. And God is going to get them back. God's going to take them back.
Absolutely.
And I have 15 grandchildren that are coming up behind them. Mm. So, you know, that's a neat, that's a,
Stephanie has to pray a lot.
On my knees constantly.
Speaking of prayer, this is the point in our program when we get a call to action is really taking the form of prayer. So, and Anne has been, the hand of God is pointing to Anne, who's going to lead us in a prayer for, in terms of our theme today.
Okay. I just want to talk about Hebrews 6:1 really quickly, and then I'll go into a quick prayer, if that's okay with you. Hebrews 6:1, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. So Lord, we just thank you, God, that you got this. Lord God, we see what the enemy's trying to do with our college campuses, but God.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, that you've began a good work already on the college campuses. We see your hand moving. We talked about the revivals that have started, Lord Jesus, and they are going to continue, Lord. Mm-hmm. We thank you for raising people up, such as Charlie Kirk, and for SALT, and for InterVarsity, for college, other college ministry organizations, Lord. But we pray for the hearts and minds of our children, Lord God, that, Lord, you will grab a hold of them. What the enemy thinks he's going to be doing, he is not successful. But, God, we pray for your spirit, Lord God, to fall upon each and every young person on college campuses, Lord. We pray for an infiltration of truth to saturate our college campuses, Lord. We pray for people to stand up for truth, that they will not cower down when they hear something woke, when they know better, Lord God. We are called as Christians to speak up, Lord. And that's what we are doing, Lord God, today at WCNO. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given us this venue to speak truth, Lord, and we pray that this message goes far and wide for your glory, Lord God. We thank you that you are moving in education, you are moving in media, you are moving in the schools, you are moving in business, all the seven mountains of influence, because your plan is to take back America. And Lord, we thank you that we, as we end 2024 and we go into 2025, Lord, we are going to continue to see your spirit move mightily, Lord. There's just going to be more and more miracles happening as we submit to your plan alone. We are your vessels, Lord Jesus. Everybody who's listening, I pray that they will also ask the Lord, what do you have for me to do, Lord God? Let's continue to pray for our young people, but what is the calling on your life? What is the Lord telling you to do in 2025? Lord, we ask, Lord God, that those that are seeking, and it says in your word, they will find. So Lord God, we are an army of warriors led by you. And Lord God, we thank you that we are waiting for our marching orders to continue to fight in the spirit. And I thank you that only in you is victory, only in you alone. In the name of Jesus, the greatest name above all names, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
We still got a couple of minutes.
We got a couple of minutes. But
we've been to the throne.
Genesis 17:7. Genesis 17:7, and it reads, God says, I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. It's a promise of God. It requires faith, it requires action, and God will not disappoint.
God never disappoints.
God never disappoints.
Never.
Amen.
So we declare and we decree that the generations after us, Lord God, will serve you.
Amen.
That, Lord God, that we're just in a time right now, and I'm so thankful that we are living today, that we get to live today and to see what you are doing, that you have not ever given up on America, as people say. This is just the beginning of a wonderful revival, and we pray for Sean Foyt, who's going to be at Clover Park tonight for a Let Us Worship celebration. For our listeners, there is a huge worship celebration from 9 to midnight at Clover Park in Port St. Lucie. We pray for your will to be done, that, Lord God, we will be worshiping you through this new year, Lord God, and that when we lead in worship, Lord God, it says in the Bible, when you lead with worship, all will follow. So we're going to worship you through the new year, and everyone is invited. It's a free event. Amen. Please come. Thank you, Lord. Please come.
Yes, wow. Well, you know, it's amazing an hour has gone by.
Once again,
we're having fun, right?
We are having fun. We hope it's enjoyable for you, too, as you listen in. But now we have to actually say, until next week.
Until next year.
Until next year. Oh, that's right.
Far away.
Until next year. Thank
Good
you.
Good one. Way we'll to lean into
I'm
that
sure
next year.
I'm sure we heard that, right?
We'll be blessed.
Let's continue to use that next year.
Yeah.
And we'll see you soon.
God bless you all.
God bless.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore, email us at wcno@wcno.com. In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.